Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Do you remember when you've held a newborn baby in your hands? Were you awed by God's creative genius and power and his attention to every detail, both what you see and what you know is inside that baby? What amazes you most? Eyes, fingers, toes, ears, or what you understand about the baby's internal organs? Or perhaps it's how God has developed that child according to his perfect and unique design, from one fertilized egg to a fully developed baby inside a mother's womb for 9 months. And now as you admire a newborn person, do you wonder who that child will grow up to be and what major experiences will be theirs in the process? This week, I'm inviting you to focus our attention on one of the most powerful statements God has ever made about God's way of working his purposes in our humanity, even, and perhaps especially, when our societies seem to have derailed and are self-destructing. Listen to what God says to us through the Apostle Paul writing to Christians in the volatile city of Corinth in the first century. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And all this is from God. We are therefore ambassadors of Jesus Christ, as though God were making his appeal to the world through us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 20. As amazing as a newborn child is, God wants us to be just as amazed with his recreation of a person when a sinner repents and trusts in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to save them from their sin condemnation. In that moment, God begins a powerful work which results in a new creation in Christ. God changes that person from the inside out. We'll dig deeply into this miracle this week. Around the world, we've seen major events like the Olympics, or the Soccer World Cup, or Football Super Bowl, or presidential inaugurations, or special gatherings of global dignitaries. Imagine if you were given an access pass to gain up-close access to one of these significant gatherings, which enable you to approach and speak with any of the dignitaries who are present. Imagine if you were given an all-access pass to the White House, or Congress, or the UN, or Buckingham Palace. Imagine if an angel appeared and gave you an all-access pass into God's throne room in heaven, the place from which God gives sovereign oversight to all that takes place everywhere in the entire universe. Guess what? I have one of those amazing all-access passes for God's throne room, and I use it often, and I'm not the only one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16 tells us that anyone can be granted an all-access pass into the throne room of God. Our entry is earned by Jesus Christ, who paid for our entrance into that throne room with his death and resurrection. As I trusted him for my salvation, God granted me an all-access pass to his throne room. May I ask, do you have such a pass? If so, with what attitudes do you enter that sacred, holy, all-powerful throne room of God? How often do you enter there? And what do you do in that sacred place of encounter with God? Now imagine if on one of your visits into God's throne room, the control room of the universe, God asks you to turn in your throne room access pass. What if Jesus then handed you a new pass, perhaps a gold embossed pass, and when you looked at it, what if you saw your full legal name was emblazoned on it with these words, Ambassador of God to planet Earth and humanity? What would be your reaction, my friends? What questions would you have for God about the implications of Jesus giving you such a commission? Is that what God had in mind for your life when adults were holding you as an infant for the first time? This week, let's unpack that shocking, amazing promise of God that Paul wrote about, and let's wrestle with these questions. What does it mean that God wants me to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Why would God choose to make his appeal to the world through me and other people like me? How should an ambassador of Jesus Christ live, talk, dress, confront the wrongs in society, model God's ethics, build God-honoring relationships? If I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, how do I receive from God instructions on where he wants me to go and what he wants me to do as his representative to my world? Would you open your copy of God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and begin with verse 14? For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he, that's Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him, Jesus, who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Do you see amazing things in this paragraph from God, my friends? Do you see it all begins deep in the loving heart of God? That's what John 3:16 and 1 John 4:9 and 10 say, right? God developed this remarkable salvation plan because of his great unconditional love for humanity, despite the reality that humanity had turned its collective and individual backs on God in every generation since Adam and Eve. Now that's amazing love. In overwhelming love, Jesus, the Son of God, agreed to this outrageous plan, and he came to earth. He lived a perfect life and allowed the humanity that he had created to reject him and slaughter him on a cross. Listen to Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. It was unbelievable love that both God the Father and God the Son had for sinful humanity, which caused what we know as Easter weekend. And my friends, it is this great love that compels God to send his redeemed people like you and me out into the world as his ambassadors. But it really becomes personal and powerful when we are so overwhelmed with the extreme of God's love for us that we find ourselves compelled to dedicate our lives to live as his ambassadors in our dysfunctional, God-rejecting world. Have you discovered this powerful truth? We all live for something. Something motivates you to say and do whatever you say and do in life. Something motivates you to prioritize your life so the things you most value receive the highest degree of your attention and the investment of your most valuable resources, especially your time and finances, right? So what keeps you going every day? Listen to what Paul wrote, for it's what fueled him. He, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised to life again. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Would you agree that which is most valuable to you is what you give your life for? Jesus gave his life for the regeneration, salvation, justification, restoration of people like you and me who were self-destructing and bound for hell. Therefore, the best way that you and I can say thank you and honor his sacrifice is to no longer live selfishly, but to live every day in his honor, doing that which most fulfilled his purposes in our world. That's what it means to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So look closely. Is that how you are living each day, my friends? Lastly, for today, take note of that very interesting statement. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Would you agree that when we regard someone from a worldly point of view, we are looking at them through selfish eyes, thinking how we can use them to our benefit? That is even how some people look at Jesus. What can Jesus do for me to improve my life situation? But my friends, consider the much bigger picture here. If Jesus has rescued you and me from our sin condemnation and living daily in sin bondage, oh yes, our lives have been wonderfully improved. But then, as the Holy Spirit works in transforming us more and more into a godly, God-honoring man or woman, Jesus is watching to see when we are ready for him to commission us out into this dysfunctional world, never to take advantage of other people, but rather as his ambassadors to help and serve others just as Jesus did when he lived here on earth. Now think about that, my friends. In fact, that's so big, let's spend the rest of today thinking about that, and we'll pick it up right here tomorrow, okay? Now ponder this question. What is the purpose for which you are living today and every day? What gives you a sense of fulfillment? Oh, Lord Jesus, these are powerful statements in 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm asking that you'll open our hearts to understand and own them for ourselves for the rest of our lives. Now I have a song for you to consider, my friends. What does God look like in the mind of a blind, autistic, adopted boy who wants to say thank you to God for the privilege of life? The link is in my notes.